It may not be a particularly harsh winter in our region, but it is still winter, not the time of year when anyone wants to get stuck in inadequate or even non-existent housing, but it happens. Happens a lot, in fact. We're taking a county-by-county survey of homelessness and services for homeless people in a series of interviews we call Out in the Cold. Today we focus on Humboldt County and an array of efforts to help people find shelter and to create new shelter for them. Two guests join us. Brian Hall is the executive director at the Eureka Rescue Mission. Brian, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Good to have you here. Nezzy Wade is with us once again as well. She's the board president at Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives, often just referred to by its acronym, AHA. Nezzy, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you, Nezzy?
I'm well, thanks. How about you?
Good.
It's good to have you both here. Brian, why don't you start off? Walk us through what your agency does. The name seems pretty pretty clear, but tell us about some of the things you do at the mission.
Well, we have overnight shelter, emergency housing, and for men, women, and children. The capacity on the men's side is probably about 160. In inclement weather, when it gets really cold outside, we use our new facility cafeteria and put men in there. Our women's side can house about up to 30 on a squished in night, and then we can also utilize our downstairs area on our women's shelter for cots to absorb the extra ladies and kids coming in. So we feed, clothe, shower. We have an evening chapel service from 6 to 6:30. It's not a mandatory that the people that come here have to be in that Christian service. They can choose to sit out of that and still receive all services. We have a year-long residential men's New Life discipleship program. It's faith-based. The men don't work a job or earn a check. They stay here. They study through the week. Local pastors and teachers come and teach the Bible to the men. And then in the afternoons, they get to do odd jobs and clean up and mopping and working in the community, doing community cleanups, weed abatement, picking up syringes that may be around, working together with Eureka, the city of Eureka, and graffiti removal. We just got them out in the community all over the place. Charlotte McDonald, who is the executive director of Eureka Main Street, we work real close with her. We set up and tear down for the various festivals in Old Town and Eureka. So it gives the men in our program an opportunity to get back into the community and be a part of the community. And once they graduate the program, they can stay here for up to 6 months or longer, depending on their need. Work off debt that they've had, get a job, and become successful.
So your year-long program is for men. I noticed that the shelter numbers are very much heavier, far heavier for men than for women and children. Is homelessness in Humboldt County, and I guess in general, is it something that does seem to have men more than women?
You know, it appears that way to me. Of course, I don't have the data in front of me, but anybody can drive around town and see throughout the camps and various places that there's a large number of men. But there are also women and children out there in the cold. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the data, but yeah, it would appear to me that there's more men.
When you're sheltering people overnight, and it is sort of an emergency situation, I mean, do you have to turn anybody away at any point? Have you gotten that full?
Yeah, actually not because of capacity. Like I say, that we're opening up our cafeteria floor and we're putting men in there. Mm-hmm. The only reason somebody would be turned away is because if they were inebriated to the point of uncontrollable behavior, if they were coming in here on various drugs and stuff like that. So we have a zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Nezzy Wade, let's come to you. You're not dealing with quite the same situation. You're looking more long-term, I think, at AHA, aren't you?
Well, we have some what we would call more immediate solutions, and that is trying to create safe spaces for people that have no other options. Mm-hmm. So a large number of the homeless folks in Humboldt County, there are no services for them. Our Housing and Homeless Coalition coordinator and our senior staff are the people in the executive committee looking at the numbers have said that two-thirds of the people out there really don't have anything. And so we're looking at creating safe camping for people. So That would give them a safe legal place to be, free from law enforcement interactions, and a place to begin to stabilize and get what they need in terms of getting an ID and an address and, you know, just the basics. And then beyond that, we're looking at creating from those experiences tiny house villages that we have been working on developing the ideas and the physical aspects of those villages for the last few years, working with engineers on sustainability and the most efficient way to have heating and lighting and to have waste disposal and to create a communal environment where people will have privacy and autonomy through small structures like micro houses, but be part of a larger community effort where they're brought into community. And all of this happens in conjunction with the larger housed community. So it's sort of looked at as a continuum. Beyond that would be truly affordable cooperative kinds of housing. And that is a longer term view, certainly.
And in fact, you had the folks from Opportunity Village Eugene come down, what, 3-4 years ago now, didn't you?
Oh, yes. And we actually, Andrew Heben, the co-founder of Opportunity Village, came down in 2014. We had a great community forum. And in that forum, it was very clear that communities throughout Humboldt wanted to have options for homeless folks. So we've always had a countywide approach to creating these options in throughout the county. In addition, Andrew Heben came back when the California League of Cities met in Arcata and was part of a panel presentation and gave a presentation to the community independent of that. And he did his whole slideshow and the figures and what it costs to do such an enterprise. Very informative. It could have been better attended. We could do this many times and still be reaching, you know, people who are unfamiliar with the concepts.
As yet, there is no tiny house village, though. Is that right?
No, there is not. But that doesn't mean that there isn't an interest in people, and people in several communities are efforting to create these options. We have the way that they work is working with the municipalities to create something in a city as a partnership with the city using city property or county property so that the cost remains low, and because it's temporary, can be moved to a different location or can be dissolved at such time as it's no longer needed. So, yes, there are many, many people working on these in various communities, and our board for AHA represents the geographic distribution of people throughout the county. So we have people from the far northern county to this southern part of the county. When we don't really have anyone from the eastern part of the county, but that's always part of our county update when we have our general assemblies.
We're talking about homelessness in Humboldt County as part of our series of interviews, Out in the Cold. We're examining Humboldt County today. Nezzy Wade is the board president at Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives, generally just referred to as AHA. Brian Hall is the executive director of the Eureka Rescue Mission. You can join our conversation on the exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I did run across some numbers, Brian Hall, of the last homeless count in Humboldt County. It looks like around 1,300 people. What do we know about the unique reasons that people end up homeless in Humboldt?
There's various reasons as to why people end up homeless in general. In my personal life, I was into drugs years ago. And my drug use and abuse caused me to become homeless. There's the drug and alcohol and substance abuse element. There's mental illness. I think that oftentimes people that are mentally ill are not comfortable being around other people. Maybe they've lost their funding. They end up homeless. Anything, a paycheck to paycheck, somebody loses their job, the unemployment rate, I don't know what that is, but various reasons. People have been kicked out, divorce, you name it. You could sit here at our mission in the evening time and interview people, and you would have just numerous reasons as to why people became homeless.
We have a call on this very line of thought. Here's John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brian Hall and Nezzy Wade. Hi, John.
Thanks. Maybe you could define for us at least how the federal government or any other agency defines what homeless is. My traditional thought was, because I grew up in Portland and I know exactly where Burnside Street is between the river and about 10th, and that was always my impression of people just living underneath the stars. But what is the definition of homeless? Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate it. Is there such a definition, Brian Hall?
Of homelessness?
Yeah.
Well, I would say people without a home.
All right, but there's no like federal law like, to meet certain.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, the federal government's definition is different than, for example, the Department of Education's definition. But when a person has been unhoused four times in a period of a year or for more than a year, for example. They are considered chronically homeless. And so when AHA talks about the population that we would like to address, we've been trying to address chronic homelessness for people people that are in these situations. Their lives are very unstable. It's because they don't have a lot of options. Most of the programming that we have is costly. There is a fee that's involved for people to participate. And we don't really have services. While there's a mythology about providing so many services and it draws and attracts a lot of people, that's really not the case. We have a lot of people for whom there just aren't enough services, and that's a good number of folks. People need a place to be stable in order to get services, and that's part of the issue. If you're chronically homeless and you're out there and don't have a place to be, very hard to provide services. We do have mobile outreach and those kinds of things, but that doesn't meet the task at all.
You're just really dealing with the daily stuff. How am I going to get fed today? How am I going to, you know, find a place to sleep today? All that stuff, the real basics.
Right, and that's what the life of someone who is homeless is consumed by, for the most part, is figuring out where they're going to be, how they're going to eat, how they're going to take care of if they have family or anybody else. The question came up about how many people out there that are male and homeless, for example, and in Humboldt County, for people that are aged up or becoming seniors, we have a large population that for whom there's nothing. And it's easier, of course, if you're a family, to find support and to get into housing than in any other category. But we have minor youth, we have people that are aged up and have no option, not very, very few options of where they can be.
Homelessness in Humboldt County, the discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange in our series of interviews on Out in the Cold. You can join us at 800-838-3760 here on the Jefferson Exchange by email jx@jeffnet.org. Nezzy, what was it you said just a moment ago about fees for certain programs?
Well, you have, in order to be in a low-income housing program, for example, mm-hmm. you have to pay a portion of the rent. And that kind of thing, when you're looking at homelessness, isn't really sustainable in the way that we're looking at keeping costs low. Because while the rents tend to be fair market value and a person need only pay a third of that, two-thirds of that needs to be paid by someone else. And that's going to be by the government or taxpayers in the end or whatever. So while getting into housing is low cost, it's certainly not free. And so the bulk of that gets paid by someone else, however. Mm-hmm. So I guess people have to have money in order to be in programs. So if you want, for example, to be involved in the detox drug treatment program, it costs money. If you want to be involved in other programs, you have to be able to contribute a small amount and be able to save some if you're in a place where they want you to be successful when you get out of there. So there's a lot of things revolving around what people need related to their minimum amount of resource.
So essentially, if you've got nothing, you get nothing. Is it that simple?
Kinda.
Wow.
You can get some basic things, but an example would be, you know, we have before our county right now, today, in fact, our Board of Supervisors has on their agenda to discuss the shelter crisis declaration that they were asked to put on the agenda back in November.
Yeah, the meeting starts at 9, I noticed. Now, so this is for the county. The city of Eureka already has a shelter crisis declared, correct?
They declared a shelter crisis in January of 2016. And with that, they've been able to do some things that are allowed by having a shelter crisis, which is to bend some ordinance and zoning and that kind of thing to allow for some more unconventional options. And so with that, they had the Betty Chin Foundation develop a container village. So they modified shipping containers and turned them into quasi-apartments, living spaces, mm-hmm. in a general compound that was communal, and meals were brought in by Betty Chin. And so it worked to get some people in safe places. And that was as a result to a large evacuation of, you know, a couple hundred people from the Palco Marsh area in mm-hmm. Eureka that didn't really have any other place to go. So they went to the streets, mm-hmm. but about 40 people were able to move into that arrangement.
So the supervisors, if they make the same declaration for the county, which is not at all a sure thing, I gather, do you have an eye on some specific places where things might happen, Nezzy?
Well, we've looked at lots of, this is a really interesting question, because the housing and AHA has looked at very many places over the last few years. And this recent year, in the end of 2017, the Housing and Homeless Coalition, which of course is made up of all the providers and support services for homelessness, were looking at developing just an emergency shelter for the winter. And it was very difficult, and there was never a physical space located in which to do that, whether land or a building.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the issue, is finding a place to do that. And that there probably are places, like the city of Eureka is using a parking lot that's owned by the city of Eureka to have the container village. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, they had to do special arrangements to be able to have it there, because it's typically not a residential area. But in any case,
but in essence, you were trying to get this 24/7 shelter for the winter. Didn't happen, in partly because nobody would offer you land, or I mean, you had some money to work with, it sounds like.
That, yes, there was funding, and that would have been available, but no place was located. And so that begs the question, well, how do you deal with that? And there are places that have been identified that were suggested that are county owned, for example. And I don't know what's been forthcoming about that. The meetings about having an emergency shelter kind of ceased because there wasn't a land option or a building option. And there was not a general outreach to the community asking them to contribute that. There was a couple articles in the paper that mentioned land was needed, but there wasn't really an all-out effort to get the community engaged to do that. So that's something that still remains to be done.
Sure. Brian Hall, I wonder if you could speak to whether there are some hard feelings in the community about homeless people and their activities, if that's something of an obstacle to being able to develop programs to serve them.
If there's hard feelings toward the homeless?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, anybody that appears homeless gets labeled as homeless. And, you know, there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of used syringes laying around, and a lot of litter. And that's a small percentage of the people who are actually homeless that are, you know, just trying to survive. There's a criminal element in that. And with all of that stuff going on, you know, people not using, there are no restrooms for the homeless people to use, unless they come to the mission here in Old Town. I don't know of any others around, so they're relieving themselves in inappropriate places in front of businesses and stuff like that. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they're homeless. So there's a stigma, there's a label put on people, and the community's tired of it, you know. I hear it and see it all the time. But the folks that we serve here at the Rescue Mission, many of them actually have jobs, part-time jobs. Some of them have two and three jobs, and some of them are actually going to college. And as a matter of fact, one of our guests is working with, I think Nezzy, and he's kind of a homeless advocate and a really nice guy. There's several groups that have been formed for community cleanups and stuff like that. And, you know, I saw as they first came out, a Facebook group, it seemed to be an attack, the homeless type of a thing. And then the administrators of that group weeded out the people that were really being negative. And so I do see good things happening as a result of that. So I see the community binding together. I've met with several of these people. They came and took a tour of the mission because they thought that the mission was part of the problem. And after touring them around and sharing them about my personal story of, how I arrived at the Rescue Mission, it changed their tune, and they realized that we're part of the solution. So it's just a matter of perception, and unfortunately, Facebook a lot of times can be, a place for people to, form judgments and attack. So.
Yeah, just a couple seconds, Nezzy. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say, in response to all of that, there's a tremendous amount of misinformation, and as far as the attitudes towards homeless people in our community, they are often the scapegoat for much of what happens in community. And working directly with folks on the street, it's easy to see how they are maligned and stigmatized. The city of Eureka, for example, has passed many ordinances.
Right, which I noticed Medford has done as well.
Yeah,
we have to go. Nezzy Wade from AHA and Brian Hall from the Eureka Rescue Mission, thank you so much for joining us today on The Exchange.